Please, do not kill the spiders. I know some of you do. I'll explain to you later why. Today, on April 22nd, all around the world, people celebrate the Earth Day. Since 1970, it's an annual reminder for all the nations in the world to work together to build a clean, healthy, and safe environment for our future generations to enjoy and live in. It's quite a good thing. Have you noticed, though, in the secular, quote-unquote, Save the Earth movement, God is totally missing. Some even call the Earth Mother Gaia, or it's a Greek word, Gaia, the Greek goddess of Earth. See, Lily says, Amen. In this secular approach, environment comes first, and then people. Some people actually complain that, what happened to the people? Put the people back to the center among this group of people. Now, once again, the order is that environment and then people. The biblical approach is different. It has God in it, of course, and the order of priority is God and the people and the creation in that order. Now, these two schools may do things in common, such as recycling and green energy. Yet there are fundamental differences between the two schools. The first one is this. The Christian approach begins and ends with God. We'd say, look, this earth and everything in it was created by God. He entrusted the care with us and in our hands. Therefore, let's take good care of them. The secular approach has no God in it, as I said, just people and the earth. It says, look, this earth is the only thing we've got. We'd better, therefore, take good care of it in the ways that look good to us. The second difference is this. The biblical approach sees beyond physical pollution, such as moral and spiritual pollutions, and their ramifications on the natural world. All things are living in God's eyes, and they are connected. The natural approach, however, is different. They focus on only things outside, things that are visible. You could call physical or natural. Therefore, it does not address the spiritual ramifications of sin on the natural world. Thirdly, in the Christian care, God is the ultimate enforcer, if I could use that word. He will hold accountable and he will, quote unquote, from the Bible, destroy those who destroy the earth in Revelation 11. In the secular approach, however, the enforcers are people, organizations, or even governments. However, it seems to me not working well as we wish. For instance, if you have been following the climate change among those nations all involved, who's been holding the perpetrators accountable? Have you been following the news in the past year or two? When China created an island in South Sea, how many of you read that, heard of it? Who's holding them accountable? Philippines, Vietnam, the U.S., Russia, the U.N., even, you know, EU? Furthermore, can we really trust humans after all? I'm not simply interested in degrading ourselves, but if you look at the history, I see the same pattern repeats over and over again. I'm afraid that my question is, will we not mess up this time in earth care? We all hope that we don't. Now, I am fully convinced that to be successful in creation care, We must have God in the picture, who is the creator, sustainer, and the ever gracious benefactor. Otherwise, no environmental movement would succeed. By the way, did you know that God is the first environmentalist, if I could use the word, and the first whistleblower in the history of the creation care? Almost 3,000 years ago, God brought a charge against the polluters of the land. I'll get to that later. So our creation care begins with Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God says, He created the heavens and the earth and everything in them, such as light, darkness, firmament, sky, and waters, and vegetation, and plants, and sun, and moon, and stars, and sea creatures, and birds, for 5 days. And at the end of each day, except the second day, I don't know why, looking at His own work, this is what God said, "It is good." On the sixth day, He created animals, and then human beings, in that order. And seeing all that He had made, He said, "It is very good." So at first, every creation of God, humans and nature, lived and worked in a perfect harmony and balance that pleases the Creator. The ensuing story, however, was not pretty. They didn't live happily ever after. Now you may wonder, what did cause the imbalance and disharmony in God's creation? The Bible says sin. Sin caused it, and all of us suffered from its consequences. Through Adam's disobedience, sin entered the world. And thereafter came sickness and death, pride, selfishness, and idolatry, and hate, anger, and murder, and greed, and jealousy, to name a few. Now, you've heard the expression that there's always consequences of sin. Yes, sure enough, such sins brought in the negative consequences on the entire creation. It indeed adversely affected their relationships with each other, between God and humans, and among humans, and between humans and non-humans. Now, everyone suffered ever since. Let me repeat, sin is the cause, and pollution is the effect. The Bible says so. Now, I'm going to present to you two verses in the Bible. Listen to the word of the Lord in Isaiah 24, 5. As I said, it was written almost 3,000 years ago. The earth is also polluted by its inhabitants. You talk about, oh, they talked about the earth 3,000 years ago? Of course they did. They also talked about pollution? Of course they did. But listen carefully. The earth is also polluted by its inhabitants, for they, the inhabitants, transgressed the laws, God's laws, violated statutes, and broke the everlasting covenant. God is seeking the cause of pollution in where? The transgression of God's laws by the inhabitants of the land. Second verse I'm introducing to you is in Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Here God convicts one more time the inhabitants of the land of their sins like this. Listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel. For the Lord God has case against the inhabitants of the land, because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore, listen carefully, you've done this, therefore, what's the effect? The land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes, along with the beasts of the field and the birds of the sky, and also the fish of the sea disappear. I was quite amazed. Wait a minute. This one was written almost 3,000 years ago. Even back then, the fish of the sea disappear. You know, it always saddens my heart when I read a story like multitude of like fish or even whales die for no reasons. How many read that story? Because of the oil spill? 3,000 years ago, they didn't have any oil spill. Somehow, fish disappear as well. Listen, sins of swearing, deception, murder, stealing, adultery, violence, and bloodshed, if I read God's word correctly, cause the land to mourn and everyone living in it languishes. Even animals and birds and the fish suffer. I hope by now, as I saw, you are able to see the connection between sin and pollution. In fact, sin is the root of broken relationships among three parties: God, humans, and non-humans. I'm going to take a little closer look at that. First, between God and humans. In the beginning, did you know, God set the boundaries between him and people. The boundaries were very simple. They were, you know, living in the Garden of Eden. God says to Adam and Eve, you can eat anything. You can take anything in the garden except one tree, the tree of knowledge. Do not eat the fruit from the tree of knowledge. And guess what? We did it. Adam and Eve disobeyed God and therefore were consequently thrown out from Eden. The bottom line, when we disobey God, we and our descendants suffer the consequences. Number two, what about between humans? Humans and humans. The first murder in human history was committed by Cain, the firstborn between Adam and Eve. He killed his younger brother Abel in the first family. Abel's innocent blood, the scripture says, was shed on the ground and it cried out for justice. Why should we not kill each other? Because each other's blood spilled on the ground cries out to God, justice, justice. We don't see that thing, right? We simply say murder is bad, therefore don't kill. But in God's eyes, the innocent blood shed, crying out for justice. Since then, it was a downward spiral. By the time Noah, the sin in the world was so bad, by the way, between Cain's, you know, first murder and Noah's time, only two chapters, folks, in the book of Genesis. That's how humans became so bad. But by the time the Noah, the sin of the world was so prevalent and so bad that the Lord, the Bible says, grieved. Oh, what have I done? He grieved that he had made humankind. It's interesting, he didn't grieve over the creatures that he had made, but humans he did. So he had to wipe them off and start anew in Genesis 6. What about humans and non-humans? We are talking about, you know, nature. Did I tell you that land is polluted by the inhabitants' corruption? We humans are guilty of abusing and misusing the God-given resources, either animals or plants, because we are failed to provide proper care and we have no accountability. By the way, Christians are as guilty of any other, you know, people there, because we misinterpreted the word in today's text, Genesis 1:28, the word subdue. Subdue is just pressing them down, you know, I'm ruling over you and I do whatever I want to do. That kind of attitude. And we abuse the environment without mercy. What's the proof? The whole creation mourns and groans. It eagerly awaits the day of redemption. As you heard, Romans chapter 8, let me read it to you again. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And verse 19, the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God, meaning that someone who understands the order and restore the order. Here's the real question then. How do we, as God's people, redeem and restore and maintain our creation in the way that it should be? We must go back to the root problem, which is the sin. How do we restore? By repenting of our sins, by restoring the order and balance and harmony among all three parties, by fixing the broken relationships among these parties. Once the broken relationships are properly restored, then the order and balance harmony will come back naturally. Let me repeat one more time the order of brokenness. Human against God first, and then human against human followed, and then human against nature. And then in that same order, we'll find the proper restorations by being faithful to the Lord, by being merciful and forgiving each other. Let me tell you this. You could claim until your face is blue, I'm an animal activist, I'm an environmentalist, I'm all for green energy and so forth. Yet, if you refuse to forgive your brother and sister or even neighbor, and guess what? It's not going to count. Because your act of unforgiving pollutes the land. So the order is this. We must be faithful to God, listening to Him. And second, be merciful and forgiving to each other. And third, and then we could be a sensible steward to God's creation. In that order, folks. Now we have a job to do, which is creation care. Creation care begins, as I said, with bringing God back into the picture, and we need to restore our relationships, okay? By walking humbly with God, by being merciful to each other, and by treating God's creation with a sense of respect and accountability. Remember the spider story I said, don't kill them? Have you noticed that they are responsible for taking care of the one-third of the bugs in the entire world? How many of you knew that? Okay, you all know. That's quite amazing because that's God's way of taking care of all these mosquitoes, flies, and nasty bugs without spilling or spraying one single drop of chemicals. Speaking of being environmentally friendly, I believe God's way is the best. Now, my family of three is, may I call, friendly, or at least we try to be friendly, to almost all creatures. Almost all creatures. Except mosquitoes. They love me, folks. They love my blood. And ants, you know, we kill those two creatures. So I'm not 100% all. But anyway, we don't kill spiders in our house. We don't kill crickets, not even flies. I used to have fun killing all these flies, you know, with that spider thing. I'm very good at it too. Until I discover, So this is what we do now in our family. Whenever we find these creatures, visitors inside of our house, we capture them with cup. You know, plastic cup and paper. We capture them and release them into the wild. The bottom line is this. Reverence for life. Reverence for life. Because God created them all. Me being on the top of the food chain does not mean that I abuse and kill those creatures in any ways that I want. No. The driving force in my creation care is God. Since I believe in God, as steward, I also want to do what is right and pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. The message to all on this Earth Day is clear. True stewardship of the earth and the nature begins with God. Let's bow our heads and pray. The reason why we need to respect each other. It's not because we just want to be civil with each other. It's not because we want to feel good about ourselves, being nice to each other. But because we see God's image and likeness, God's footprints and fingerprint in each other, Lord. When you created all the other things, animals and plants and all other things, Lord. You created all of them for us to enjoy and have a wonderful relationship. It was quite eye-opening for me, Lord, when you said, even the land mourns. I thought land is just a thing, have no feelings whatsoever, but God's word says no. Land groans and mourns and waiting for the day of redemption. Sons and daughters of God, yes, Lord, you have called us to be good stewards, but let us pay attention to you first and obey your word, being merciful to each other, and then take care of our nature. Help us, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.